Hello and welcome to our latest edition of West Coast XE. I am your host, Ken Martinez. If you're watching this, you're watching it on YouTube, please click the subscribe button. It's super helpful. We're trying to gain more subscribers. It really helps us to take pictures and travel to meets and provide them to you for free. So super easy on your part. Click on the subscribe button. And the same thing goes if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please follow. That really helps support us. Thank you so much. In this week's episode, we are previewing the California State Meet that will be held at Woodward Park in Fresno, California. And we'll be talking to two guests. We're going to be talking to Todd Takubo, who was our very first guest 1 year ago this week. We did our first episode, which was the California State Meet preview, and we invite him back on for our anniversary broadcast. And he tells us about his top five things he's looking for. Like, what are the five things he's looking for when he's at the meet on Saturday? And then we talked to Coach Albert Kawana, and he breaks down the races by divisions, all 10 races, and goes through there and tells us what teams to look for that'll make the podium and what teams will, what and individuals will be ones to watch in each division. So you want to stick around for that after Todd, hear from Coach Kawana. Okay, so here we go with a Todd Takubo and what he's looking for at the state meet. Well, we want to welcome Todd Takubo. Welcome, Todd.
Ken, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm getting excited about the California State Meet. I have you on to give us your five things you're looking for. But right. I also have you on because a year ago this week, we recorded our first YouTube episode with you, Todd. And so I want to thank you for all of, obviously, your pictures, but also your help on the YouTube channel. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been fun. I think it's especially fun when you're standing around a meet and somebody makes a comment about something we talked about here, and I kind of have to do a double take every once in a while, the person going like, oh, you listened to the pod, thank you very much for listening.
Yes, that does happen to me too. I think it's just me out down here in my basement, but there are people watching and subscribing, which we really appreciate. And before we get to your five things you're looking for, if you can indulge me, I'm going to go over the top 10 most viewed YouTube episodes, just because if you are a new person watching us for the first time or second time, we've been doing things throughout the calendar year. And also some of them you can actually watch without knowing whether it was like 3 months ago or not. Some things not, you know, previews for meets, probably not, but here we go. So number 10 is Santiago Corona in La Mirada summer practice. So it was like video of them running at the park, interviews with the athletes and coaches. That was from last summer. And there are other ones too from last summer from other practices. That's number 10. Number 9 was Woodbridge preview. That's an example of maybe, you know, it's already been, it's finished. It's with Keenan Gray of Dystat. There are also interviews from previous meets at Meriwether in Oregon and Bellarmine of Washington. And then, Todd, you got bumped out of the top 10 because of this one that we did last week, the California sectional recap preview with Coach Albert Kawana, who recently retired from Crystal Springs Uplands. And
was a good one, though, because it was a great primer for all the races that just happened last weekend.
Yeah, so it was a recap of races that finished on the 15th and then the 20th and 22nd. So that was last week we did that, and there was an NXR also interviews of teams that made it from the Northwest and some athletes. Number 7 was Nike Portland XE preview with my friend Steve. We also interviewed kids from Woodbridge that we went to the previous week. So some of the previews maybe not so interesting now, but there are some pretty cool interviews of athletes from previous races. Then at number 6 was, I had this idea of doing the Mount Rushmore of the greatest high school athletes of all the three states that we cover. Number 6 is with Dave Frank, Coach Dave Frank, and we did the Mount Hood of Oregon, and that made number 6. These are the girls and boys, the greatest distance runners of Oregon. And I would encourage you to go see Kenan Gray's Mount Rainier of Washington. It did not make the top 10, but we also covered Washington. Number five is Clovis Invitational Preview with Coach Kawana. This was back in October. And we also interviewed the Sun Devil Invitational athletes from San Diego the week before. Number four is the Mount Whitney of California with Coach Kawana, high school athletes from California. I think that's super interesting.
That one was fun, going reaching way back to even some of the people that were close to the time when I was in high school, even, which is pretty amazing.
He went pretty, yeah, he did some pretty good research, especially with the girl athletes who were, racing when it wasn't really a popular thing for girls to be involved in, which was really cool. That's good research. Then number three is another recent one. I interviewed Thor Espenson, coached locally here in Portland for the Oregon cross country state meet, and then Matt Ellis of the Bellarmine Prep of Tacoma, Washington. He talked about the Washington state meet preview. That was the third most watched. And then we did the California state meet last year, this time a year ago. And that was one of the most watched until this fall when all these cross country meets came and got bumped out. And so you know what, Todd, you're going to be on probably the most.
How could I not have one in the top 10? This is killing me.
Todd, this one right now, I will guarantee you, maybe the most, I think it'll be the number one most watched in about a month.
All right. We'll take it to the bank.
I'm going to bank that maybe by Sunday even. Number two is a really, this one just blew up. This is back in March, the Dublin Distance Fiesta. I interviewed Coach Chris Williams of Dublin High School. Very inspirational coach, very popular coach in the East Bay. He had been diagnosed with cancer about a month earlier, so he talks about that. This one you could watch again because he does a little bit of a preview of who's going to be there, but it's actually like maybe 10% of the interview. The other 90% is like the history of the meet, which is, for those that aren't familiar with it, it's all distance events for 2 straight days, mostly the 800, the 16, and the 3200 with relays on what Friday. It's the 4x800.
DMR.
Oh, DMR on Friday and
Is it,
Saturday.
wait, is it DM? No, wait, you're right. I think it's 4x8, then DMR. I think you're right.
4x8 on Friday and DMR on Saturday. And he just talks about how that meet has just blown up. And it's a really great meet that's happening again in March. And number one was from track season. Both California, I shouldn't say both, all three of our West Coast states had the state meets on the same weekend. California, Oregon, and Washington. California with Coach Kawana, Thor in Oregon, and Kenan Gray of Dystat for Washington. And we previewed that meet, which actually was the interview with Coach Chris Williams was like by far the most watched we had. And then eventually was caught by the California, Oregon, Washington state meet. But I'm going to make a point here. This will pass it.
We'll see.
And
Let's hope
also,
so. Hey, do me right, folks. Come on, community.
hey, listen, also, Todd, when we did our episode a year ago today, we had no subscribers.
That's true.
So that's pretty incredible. We got so many people to watch last year when we had no subscribers.
I'll also say, you've got kind of Hall of Fame level coaches like Albert and Chris coming on. They're gonna talk a whole lot more about the community than I ever will have remembered or experienced. So it's great that you're getting people like that to come on consistently also and talk about stuff. I
Oh,
think it's
yeah, I'm very
fantastic.
thankful. Thank you for you coming on and thankful for all the guests we've had. They're just awesome guests. So now, Todd, let's switch to the California State Meet on
All right.
Saturday. Tell us the five things you'll be watching through your camera lens because you'll be there.
So we'll see what the camera shooting plan is between the two of us, but what am I looking for? So obviously the first, number five thing, times. Last year, 12 guys broke the 15-minute mark on that course, which is notorious for having kind of a barrier right around 1504 or something. But last year's senior class was just absolutely outstanding for the guys in particular. So how many guys drop below 15-minute mark? And then also how many of the girls? Obviously, girls like Daly and Braylon Combe will be below 1730, but who else joins them in that group? And there was 10 girls last year below 1730. So seeing spectacular performances like that, I think is the first thing you look out for. And
I say, and this is not a gambling show. I would say I think it's gonna be over 12. I say go over
you
on
really
the
think
boys.
so?
Yeah. I was looking at the Division One race, which is the last race. There's so many like superstars in the Division One boys race alone that not just the fact that there's some good runners in there, but there's some really evenly matched teams. And they're gonna be trying also to try to make NXN
Right.
at the end. And they'll know all the times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if you think about like the fact that there's five or six or seven evenly matched teams, they might just hang back and watch each other and then go for the last mile. But I think with kids that maybe their teams are not going to be in on the podium, they might want to just go to NXN.
Yeah.
And so I think the 12 will be obliterated. I think it might be 15, not by much, but because of the fact that that last race, they know what the times are, and they got to go for it. And even
Yeah.
the teams too kind of need to know that, hey, we got to catch up to the Division Two and Three boys race. That's my call. On the girls' side, I don't know. It might be right around 10 again. We'll see.
It's, I think it's going to be really split up too. I saw some of the D5 girls in the NCS run. I mean, there's NorCal has a lot of really fast girls on the small school side.
If you say that, then I think it goes over. Then I think it goes over.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Because in the girls' race too, you have like Aleo Curtis, who ran really well at the Clovis Invitational, and then Summer Wilson went crazy
Yeah. Oh,
and
they were both in
ran.
the 16s. I was just looking at it yesterday. They were both in the 16s.
He ran like 15, 14. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So we might go over on both days and both times. All right. So that's
All
my
right.
fly. What's next one?
Number four, maybe kind of one of our running jokes here for naming of schools, but I think
Yeah.
St. Francis has a shot of winning both the D2 and D3 girls races. The St. Francis out of Mountain View in Division 2 and St. Francis from the Sacramento region in Division 3.
Yeah.
Giving the shout out specifically for the Sacramento one because I know Haley Welsh on that team, her dad listens to this because he's made comments before.
Oh, nice.
So
Great.
Clint, if you listen, yes, I really hope the girls win Division 3.
So, from an Oregon perspective, I host this Meet Nike Portland XC, and then teams will like jump in, like want to come to the meet, and I'll see it on athletic.net. And it's so confusing because there's like two Santiagos, maybe there's more. There's two Californias, there's one in Southern California, there's a couple of Pacificas, a couple of Del Oros, there's a couple of Sarahs, J Sarah, but Sarahs. There's others too, and there's the St. Francis. There's a couple of redwoods too.
Yeah, but remember you also talked about it before last year. California, we don't have an NXR for California. Our state meet is basically our NXR as well. So it's a big meet and it's a big state. I mean, let's be honest, California's a huge state.
Bunch of cathedrals going on
There are a
here.
lot of
A
cathedrals.
couple of Whitneys.
Yes.
Some are just called Mount Whitney, but other Whitney. Yeah, it's like, okay, which Pacifica's coming? Oh, okay, the one over in Garden Grove. Okay, got it. Anyway,
Okay.
yeah. So,
Yeah,
but
so
that,
that's number four is
and I will say one more thing
book.
about St. Francis too, is I tag the I get the I miss I don't tag them correctly on Instagram because I get the, I get
Yeah.
them mixed up.
Yeah, it is natural.
They have kind of similar colors too, or
Oh,
no?
no. Well,
Okay.
one's yellow, one's like brown and something.
Okay. All right. And
All
the
right.
Troubadours is one of them, and the other one is.
The Trubies are the ones from Sacramento, from the
Okay.
San Joaquin section. All right. Number three is kind of the small school individuals. Kind of got inspired after watching NCS the last week. D5, we've got Ollie O'Connor from Viewpoint, who's just been tearing it up this year. Southern section has Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's from Southern section? No, Nueva, sorry,
Nueva.
that's CCS. He's CCS. I'm sorry, my mistake. I just got done watching Ben Friedland at University just blow away everybody in Division 5 and had, I think, the second or third fastest time of the boys yesterday or over the weekend. And then, Blake Bay out of Fresno Christian also is having a great season. All of those guys are in this conversation to get near 15 in the D5 boys race, right?
Yeah. And that was a big fast. I mean, that was the last race of the meet last year, and we had several guys make it.
Yeah.
Well, mean,
This one will be second to last this year, I think.
it was, I mean, there were kids running all-time great times in Division 5 last year, so
Right.
that was pretty cool.
Well, the top end here isn't going to change much this year. It's going to be fast.
Yeah.
And then the girls, we have like Ella Mogganum from Lick, Farrah Allen from Branson. Watch them go 1-2 and then CST5. I saw Anna Salter from Crystal Springs earlier at Camp Lindo's 3200. There's a lot of fast D5 girls.
Yeah, I want
So.
to give a shout out to a young lady in San Diego at Christian High School. I think her name is, gosh, her name escapes me, but maybe her last name is Patterson. She dominated Mount SAC,
Yeah.
small school. So that's another one too. You're saying, I'm looking at your notes here. You think Ella could run like a NXN qualifying type time, that she's that good?
Maybe she just cruised through an NCS thing, but she's clocked a sub 17 this year.
Okay, so
So
look for D5, and I believe you. I've been thoroughly impressed by Division 5 the last
yeah,
couple of
well,
years.
it should be amazing. It should be. I really love watching the small schools because it last year aside with the Menlo boys, usually you do just get the individual, the really good individual kids out of those small schools that can just that are they're D1 class kids. So all right, number two, probably just watching the boys from Jesuit, the D2 boys in the first race of the day. So this is like that good bad scenario. We know it's going to be cool. The course is going to have that special whatever they have on it to keep all the dust down. The numbers also say in that race that Ryan Chen and the Mountain View boys are going to be at least give them some competition. So it'll be an interesting first race.
It will be an interesting first race. I am watched the D2 boys race on HD Runners Live last weekend. That was intense. There's some really good Southern Sections teams. And a team from Jesuits section, Vacaville, is also very strong. So it won't be just Jesuit just winning going away. I mean, they're favored and they're very strong, and I would expect them to win. I'm just saying there'll be teams trying to stay with them as much as they can. But you say the good bad thing is the fact that then they set the times individually, and then the rest of the field just tees off on their times.
Everyone knows what to aim for, and so hopefully, a combination of it being state, having a couple of really fast guys in the race as individuals pushes the pace up front. You never it's so different from any other race that you usually have during the year. It'll be really interesting. They obviously had a great show. The Jesuit boys had a great showing at Clovis when we were there. But let's hope they can put it together. They've had the hype all season, so.
Yeah, they're pretty strong. I mean, I would expect them to, even if they have an average day, to win that race. You
And
also
then if we look,
mentioned another race later on, the D4 girls race.
right, and Jay Sarah and the Archie Williams girls, I think they just won the race up here. Like, I think they scored 37 or something like that up here in at NCS
I think
in a sectional race.
they went 1, 2, 3. Is that correct?
They went 1-2-3 and they scored like a total of 37 points. So that's pretty impressive. We'll get to a more impressive thing here in a little bit, but they. Yeah, they. Oh, wait, was it? Or did they score even lower than that? I think I might be confusing these things. Let me.
Well,
But
I'll buy you some time here.
yeah,
Archie
go ahead. Buy
Williams,
me
I
some time
think
here, real
Archie
quick.
Williams girls 1, 2, 3 are pretty evenly matched with Jesuit, Jay, sorry, Jesuit, I'm
Yeah.
again. Jay
Jay Sarah.
Sarah's, Jay Sarah's 1, 2, 3. The difference is Jay Sarah's sixth girl could easily be the second girl, and they're so deep and interchangeable.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is Jay Sarah is used to running fast to get to NXN. They're in this really interesting spot at D4. It's not as deep as the other divisions. They're really good. They're really fast in D4. And
Yeah.
Kiara Daly's going to set the pace there, but they're a little bit deeper. They're a little bit deeper than Archie Williams, but Archie Williams should mix it up with them with the
I'm
top
sorry, I
three.
got this confused. Archie Williams scored 21.
That's incredible. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and then who knows what the 7, 8, 7, 9 or something. It's really
Yeah,
close
and
for
they had a gay Miramonte squad behind them. There's the two fast freshmen from Albany. It's not like they weren't running without any competition, but they just absolutely dominated that race.
And then,
So, yeah.
yeah, so your number one
My number
is.
one is that only because I'm an NCS and a Division III homer, watching the Camp Alumna boys go to try and defend their state championship, I got to see them up front running their 3200s in the middle of the season. They got just a ton of kids below that magical 930 approaching the 920 mark.
Great.
And I'm not to get ahead of ourselves, but Chuck Woolridge is, there's no seniors on Chuck's team that he's bringing to Clovis. They are all juniors and a sophomore, I think.
Yeah, I looked through their roster that ran at NCS, and they were all underclass
Yeah.
athletes. And so, yeah, it's kind of what Jesuit was like last year. Jesuit had a
Right.
lot of like underclass runners, and you said, well, Jesuit's really good in 2024, but watch out for 2025.
Right.
Camp Lindo is gonna possibly be in the same situation where they come back next year and even be better.
And they're doing a great job. I think Albert talked about it last time. They, on an aggregate 3200 time, they won the Hokas Post National, which was kind of a little cool virtual event throughout the season. But they won that. They're defending as D3 champs. They'll probably come again, hopefully, knock on wood, this year. They won NCS. This is where the 37 came from. They beat Northgate 37 to 111,
Yeah, it's not
which
close.
is, that's, again, it's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. And I think they're one of the top two teams in the entire state. So here's the dilemma. I don't know if it's a dilemma, it's just the way it is. But Jesuit and Camp Olinda will like put the stake in the ground and say, this is what we've run.
Yep.
And the rest of the teams for the next, races, Division 1, 4, and 5 are going to be aiming for
Yep.
those
They are the
guys.
first two races of the day.
But if you look at the like the Dystat rankings, the gap between Jesuit and Camp Lindo and the third best team in the state is pretty big. And so I think the goal for the other teams is to be as close as they can to those two schools and get an at-large bid is that's
Yep.
what you're really aiming for. So
I think it also bodes well for the individuals that are trying to make it through to NXN, because hopefully, especially the Jesuit, the Division II group will set a pretty fast bar for the first
Yeah.
race.
Good.
We were watching last year, the fastest race was that last race was the Division Boys, Division by Boys. It was really fast.
Yeah, they're just going for it. I asked Coach Kawana if the athletes like coaches, they know the times, but do they think about it on the course? He didn't really think so. I think it's pretty just you just go for it and you just see what happens. But yeah.
We used to talk about with some of the teams I was working with, it's like, just run the race you're in. I think that's all you can really hope for at this
That's what
point
he
in the
said.
season.
Boy, you and Coach Kawana must be on the same link or something because that's what he said too. He just ran your race. He's just.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well, it may be something in the water up here.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm
My
ready to
apologies
go.
to all the SoCal people. I'm sorry, I just got done with North Coast section, so I'm a little bit of a NorCal homer. It's not that I don't love all of you guys. I will see you all there on
I
Friday and
need to give a
Saturday.
shout out to our friends at HD Runners, my big time Dodger fans over there. And they, so I
Put
had,
this picture in.
hey,
Sorry.
listen, I'm just beaming from the Rams too. The they had a live beautiful. I mean, I was showing my wife on the computer. They had a Southern section live, great camera coverage.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't at the meet, but I felt like I was, and I got a good sense of the Southern section. It was super competitive. We'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It was super, it was a road, kind of a road race. And so they were running really fast. And so,
Yeah, especially with the rain, they changed it to the rain course.
correct. Yeah. And
Yeah.
they finish on the track and all those things. And it was just intense. It's just, well, the finish on the track was intense. So they're,
It was definitely a fast race, though, looking at the times. It was
oh yeah, for
fast.
sure. Yeah. So it was fun to watch, and it'll be good to see all those sections come together on Saturday. So Coach called you Coach Tatakubo. I was still calling Coach.
That hasn't been for years, and they were in junior high school. So, but thank you
Hey,
anyway.
everybody in my book is a coach. I call everybody Coach. Look forward to seeing you Saturday. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Friday. We're going to meet up Friday, right?
I'll be there Friday. Yes. You might be there in the afternoon yourself.
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay, so yeah, I'll be there Friday taking pictures. That was a very popular post last year, was the practice pictures. I'm actually in Fresno quite early on Friday, but I'm thinking most of the teams will be there in the early afternoon after driving from the Bay Area or the Southern California or the Sacramento area is my guess.
Well, I mean, the sun's going to go down by 5, so you can't be on the course much after 5.
So sometime between 2 and 3-ish, I'll be in that area and I'll take some photos and I'll take some buddy photos if you want and team photos too if you like.
I
And
got somebody asking me for my first selfie yesterday or 2 days ago at NCS.
you've
That was a
made
very
it.
surreal thing.
You've made the big time. If your children were there to watch it, they would be horrified
Yes, they
and rolling their
would.
eyes and like, what is happening to our world?
They're
Dad.
already horrified that I'm doing this.
They just, my girls just roll their eyes and go, and my wife too. They're just like, what on earth is. Anyway, so have a great Thanksgiving.
Yep, you too.
Drive safe to Fresno. We'll see you Friday
Yep.
afternoon. We'll see everybody Friday
See
afternoon.
you on Friday.
And then we'll see everybody on Saturday. All
Yep, sounds
right.
great.
Thanks, Todd.
Later, Ken.
Well, we're happy to have Coach Albert Kawana on. Hey, Coach, thanks for being on again.
Thank you very much. I've lost track how many of these we've been on,
Done a
but
few. In fact, this is our 1 year anniversary of doing these. We did the California State Meet last year, and I did a tally of the top 10 most viewed. I think you're like in 4 or 5 of them.
all right.
Yeah, it's very, very popular. So I appreciate your effort in the last year. It's really been awesome, and your insight's fantastic.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk about the California State Meet, which is on Saturday. 10 races, 5 divisions, and starts at 8:30 and goes all the way, I think, to 1:30 in the afternoon. And the divisions are all kind of mixed up. In Oregon, and I'm not sure about Washington, but in Oregon, it goes by small to large. But in California, they shuffle them, probably for NXN reasons.
I think it's just so, like not any division gets an advantage. I don't know how much NXN factors into that, but it's definitely nice that there's a rotation and each year it changes. It goes 2 divisions. It goes like this year it goes 2-3-2-3, boys, boys, girls, girls, and then it goes 4-5-1. So and the, so there's a If you just follow from year to year, you could see the rotation, how it goes. Sometimes you're early and like I think we literally went from being the first race in 1 year, and a couple of years later, we were like the last race of the day. So it goes by fairly quickly.
And I just mentioned NXN. This also is a regional meet for California. There are 9 regions for NXN. This is the ninth and final one. 2 teams make it, 5 individuals. But instead of the other regions where you're racing and you know that you're in fourth place and you might be going, this one's a little different. You may not know, you won't know until 2 o'clock.
Right. And it all depends, if you go early, you run fast and you're kind of waiting for everybody else to finish. And if you go last, you kind of know what teams ran before you and oh, here's what we need to do. So it's definitely very different than the other regionals.
Yeah. And speaking of that, the first 2 races have a huge impact on the boys NXN race because, without having head-to-head competition, it's kind of assumed that Jesuit boys and Compolindo boys are the 2 top teams and they go right at the beginning.
Right.
And it's not necessarily their team time that you're really interested in. It's because it's a compilation of like taking all the races and just putting runner by runner. Is that correct?
Team time can be a little deceiving because if you have like a super fast runner, that's gonna change the team time, and somebody who has Jordan Hesse at their front of the pack is gonna have a really fast team time, but potentially they might not be at the same place. So definitely the merge is what you're looking at. Team time, yes. I think most of the time the fastest teams are going to have the fastest team times, but if you have a superstar at the front, that's going to change things up a little bit.
So at 8:30 is the boys division 2, and who are some of the teams that you think could? Well, One's pretty obvious, but what are some other teams that are going to be pretty tough? And there's, top, by the way, top three teams make the podium. So we're thinking, we're going to think about five teams that might have a shot at being in the top three.
So, yes, top three teams make podium, top 10 individuals make the podium at the state meet. So Jesuit, I think they're ranked second nationally. They were the top team last year. I believe they returned everybody. They added Connor Bilodeau. I mean, he's been their number one runner at several of their meets. So they're the favorites. They've been in big meets, and they have pretty much the most experienced coach in maybe in the country, who's been at Jesuit for, I think, somewhere between 55 and 60 years at Jesuit. Woodbridge has been the second best team, but so they finished fourth at the Southern Section meet, but they were missing one of their runners. So Thomas Yone didn't run for them. He actually didn't run the prelims and the final. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that seems kind of concerning that he wasn't there. And then one of the runners, I believe, fell. So that definitely, if they're at full strength, I think they would have won. I think they're the second best team, but obviously they come in as a question mark. Dos Pueblos, they won. They had the fastest team time, I believe, in the Southern Section. And they were followed by what, Lucerna and Hart. And so all those teams are in the mix there. Vacaville got second to Jesuit at their section final. Mountain View has kind of been under the radar. If for those people that visit Tully Runners and see their rankings, Mountain View was number 19 in the nation preseason. They lost one of their top runners, but they dominated at CCS and are definitely in the mix. And then the other team that may be under the radar, maybe not, Matilda Torres. They got third last year in at state. They won their section again, and they're definitely a factor. So I think those are all the teams.
Yeah, Matilda Torres is under the radar. I mean, they were in the radar at the beginning of this, like in August. They were like one of the, they were nationally ranked. They have four boys that are really tough. And there's a gap. And coach, you've had those kind of teams. That fifth runner could have an extraordinary day, and all of a sudden Matilda Torres is in the, could be a factor,
I think there's a lot of teams in that boat. There's teams that have three really strong runners. There's a huge gap. And at section meets, I think you could survive those because the races are not quite as packed. But at the state meet, a lot of teams all of a sudden, can come into play. And your fifth runner, who was like okay at section meet, all of a sudden is way back. Or like you said, they have an inspired race, and all of a sudden your team is way better than, anticipated.
Who are some of the individuals we should look for in the D2 boys race?
Right. So, Cooper Stream, he won the Sac Joaquin section. He finished ahead of the Jesuit pack. Alijah Murillo of Branham. So Cooper Stream is from Vacaville. Alijah Murillo is from Branham. He's broken a couple of course records. I think his sophomore year, he was top 10 at the state meet. And he's running really well. He just ran his fast time at the Crystal Springs course. Benjamin Fernandez of Matilda Torres was the section champ. Heat Salter of De La Salle. And then I'm not sure. Did you watch the video, or were you there live at
No,
the?
I had the best cross country morning, coach, on Saturday. I am always at a cross country meet on Saturday, but this last Saturday I was home and I watched the Division One NCAA championships. I was watching my computer because our friends at HD Runners had live coverage, and then I went and watched on my computer the NXR Southwest because I've seen a lot of those kids in Portland and at Woodbridge and at Clovis, So it was really fun. So I watched this Division II race live on my laptop, and it was the most incredible fin. There were several incredible finishes because it's on the track, like 350 meters or so, 320 meters on the track. And Aiden Antonio had the lead for most of the race, and then Derek Luna passed him. And then Adrian Cantu of Saugus came around the turn, kind of slingshot him through and he took the lead, but he ended up fading. And gotta hand it to Aidan Antonio, who lost the lead twice in the track. He wins it, and then Lyle Medeiros of Clermont quietly finishes second. It was amazing. We had, because it's on the track, it was just, it's very, it's like a track meet. So it was really fun to watch.
So, all those four runners, they're going to be in play there. Jesuit, Isaac Abbott and Connor Bilodeau, they've kind of been taking the turns leading Jesuit. So like all those runners are going to be up in the top 10. And obviously, with so many close teams, who can get those low sticks is going to be super important by the end of the meet. So I think those are all the runners that are in play. I'm sure there's going to be a couple more. You just never know. Let's see, Jackson Northcutt of Mount Carmel won the San Diego section. You don't know who like won a section meet and just cruised and
Sure.
is ready to have a huge meet at the state meet.
I appreciate the research on Woodbridge because they were considered like the second best team and they're missing a runner. I have a theory about the southern section. Okay, you ready for this? Theory number one, because we're going to go through all these divisions. You're going to hear me repeat like, well, this team was really ranked pretty high, but they finished third or fourth on Saturday in the southern section. Theory number one, it's the end of the season. Flu season, cold season, athletes are dinged up. So they're either not running on with a full team or they're not, one of their kids is running like at 85%. Theory number one. Theory number two is the southern section is just really deep. And so if your third runner has like an off day, you could drop a couple spots. And then the third reason is for the second week in a row, they ran the rain course at Mount Sac, which I watched. And obviously I didn't run it, so people may argue with me. It didn't seem very hilly. It had some ups and downs, but seemed like a road race with a track meet at the end. And so it was very fast, which might have thrown off some teams that could have really used the hills.
And if you look at the results, I mean, the difference between first and fifth sometimes was like 10 to 15 points, which is nothing. And Woodbridge, so they were missing their, I mean, he's been second, third man. I mean, he ran 15,
Huge.
19 at Clovis. That's a huge drop for them. With him, I believe they would have won. And then I believe one of the runners fell, finished 50th, and he was their fifth man. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I mean, Saugus 1 year, their girls finished seventh at the southern section meet and then got second at the state meet. Some teams are training right through. Hey, let's just qualify, and so you never know. Like difference between 5 to 10 points. If you look at the Division One scores, there's so many teams that are in play that I mean, all of a sudden a team just decides like, hey, we're feeling really good now, and then make a breakthrough at the state meet.
Which Dos Pueblos did at the section meet. They really ran a great race, and they were pretty psyched. So that was pretty fun to watch. Now let's go to the Division Three boys. This is the Compolindo boys who have no seniors in their top seven.
Well, actually, at the you are correct. At the section meet, they didn't have any seniors.
Okay, that's why I saw it. Okay.
And I believe they're substituting one of their seniors who's going to run the state meet.
Okay.
They just kind of just did their thing on Saturday. They know that wasn't a big race. They were going to win easily there. I believe they're ranked. Last time I checked on Dystat, they were like ranked 11th in the nation. So they're definitely super strong team. They won last year, and they should win again. I think West Ranch, no, not West Ranch, West Torrance is their biggest threat. They were clearly the best Division III team in the Southern section. West Ranch was third. Cathedral Catholic, they won San Diego section. Also at CCS, Willow Glen's been ranked up there. They've run really well, but their fifth man was back. So this goes back to the fifth man, issue for some teams. Both Willow Glen and St. Ignatius They were competitive, but they've run better races, and their fifth man, for whatever reason, was they were back at the at their section mate. So if they can clean that up, then both teams are threats for the podium. And Oak Park was second at the Southern section meet, and I think we've mentioned West Ranch and Cathedral Catholic. So I think those are the primary teams.
Yeah, and then individually, could be anybody's race.
Yeah, so you saw Oliver Hunter, he won a really close race over Michael,
Scaronis, maybe?
yeah, of South Pasadena. So that was a really close race. Noel Juado of Del Oro in Bakersfield, he's been one of the top runners. Clark Gregory of Camp Lindo, he was our number one runner at the section meet. Caden Erhorn has also been up there. So I think both those two are going to be up there. Andres Lomeli of Kimball, Aiden Dorosky of Willow Glen, he was the CCS champ, and then Nathan Wilbur of Cathedral Catholic.
I guess if I was going to give an edge, Andres Lamella has had a really nice season.
Right. Yeah. And super experienced, and he's been up there before. He's been in a lot of big races.
So now the boys are done, and then Compolindo and Jesuit hold their breaths and sees and
Right.
waits. I think there could be some also NXN individual runners in that D2 race that will be watching and waiting too. That one's easier to watch because that's just by time and people get bumped off and such.
Sure.
Then we have the D2 girls coming up, and you know what's kind of nice about the D2 girls, the top five ranked teams. These are based on November 19th state rankings. So by the time this is, you get to see it, they're probably new rankings, but it's from teams from all over the state, which is really fun.
Right. So I think Whitney's been ranked up there. They got third in 2024. I believe they podiumed the year before also. They won their section meet. I believe they had the second fast time at the San Joaquin section behind Davis, and we'll talk about Davis in a second. But Whitney won their league championship over three really strong teams, and I think they're definitely up there. It's hard to. Yes, there are some divisions where you can go, okay, these are the favorite teams. I think there are teams that could potentially win. St. Francis Mountain View, they won their they won CCS. They ran the fourth fastest team time ever on the Crystal Springs course. They got second last year. They beat Whitney by 2 points at the state meet, so they're definitely a factor. And Murrieta Valley, pretty good. Westlake. Point Loma won the San Diego section. So I think those are some of the contending teams in Division Three.
Yeah. Then individually, I think I see a favorite, but no, I see two favorites. I forgot about this one.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, actually I said Division Three, that's Division Two. Yes. Yeah, so this one, I think whoever wins this and potentially the second and third runners could potentially have the three fastest times of the day. So
Yes,
this,
there's
I
some
mean, this is
really
going to
good.
be, yeah. So I think the first eye-opening mark of the season was when Aiello Curtis of Ventura ran 16:44
Yes.
Clovis. And there's been runners who've run like multiple faster times on the STEMI course, but she's the sixth fastest girl in history. So if you look at all the girls who've run a fast time, that was the sixth fastest performer on the Woodward Park course. But then this past Saturday, Summer Wilson of Irvine ran 15:14 on the I mean, obviously very, very fast course, but you know, you run 15:14, that's for
Yeah.
what, I don't know. I think what the course is probably a little under 3 miles, or actually 3 miles, because somebody posted that that's like a national record for
That's
a
what they say,
girl.
national record for a 3 mile, but again, on asphalt, and then a track.
Sure.
So,
Right. So
but still
obviously,
fast. I mean,
I don't think there would be any girl in the nation that would be like not happy with running 15:14.
yeah, just to put it in perspective, later we'll talk about Max Zavaleta of MLK. He ran 13:59. So you're talking about a minute and 15 seconds slower
Yeah.
than the fastest boy. That's
Right.
pretty incredible.
Right. Yeah. When you think about what the Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's obviously it's an outstanding race, and it'll be interesting what she does this weekend. Another runner who's been running really well is Amaya Bharadwaj of Palo Alto. So she's a senior. She's only run seven races, but she's undefeated. I believe she won the small school at Clovis. And so she hasn't lost a race yet, and most of the races, obviously, she's been out there by herself. So it'll be interesting what she will do chasing both those girls.
She could do that. Those three should, unless Summer really is at a different level, you should see those three right up there at the front, racing each other.
And Amaya, she was a little disappointed she didn't break 17 at the Crystal Springs course, but tough to do by yourself. And then let's see, some other runners. Kaylee O'Connell won Norco Section. She's from Monte Vista. We already mentioned Amaya won CCS. Isabella Mayer of Mount Carmel, Isabella Vasquez of El Diamante. And the other one is Brenna Mannion of Vista del Lago. I believe she may have run the fastest time at the San Joaquin section. If not, she was definitely one of the top two or three, and only three girls broke 18 on that course, and she was one of them.
And then we have a repeat of what the boys did. We have the D3 girls at 10 o'clock. And boy, that could be, well, what do you think? Could be anybody, or maybe not.
I think, based on state rankings and based on the whole season, I think St. Francis of in Sacramento has been the best team in that division. They also have a really strong front runner, and we'll mention her in a second. Santa Margarita, they were second in the Southern section. They were also third last year in at state. Oak Park was third at the Southern section meet. El Toro won, so they were the CIF champ. And then in the Norco section, Norgate and Campolindo have been battling back and forth this year. Norgate was great early. Campolindo got him a couple of times later at their league meet. But Norgate ran really well at their at the section meet. I believe they had the second fastest team time, and they could definitely be a contender if they run really well again at state. So I think those are the contending teams.
Yeah, El Toro had a great day. They're the second fastest team in the merge. And so behind Maricosta. So they had a really strong day. They were strong last year. Who are some of our superstars? They could be from anywhere in the state. There's some really diverse girls from different parts of the state that could win it.
Carol Dye, she beat her teammate, Taryn, let's see, what is it?
Colston?
So they're from Santa Margarita. So they ran really well. So they call it, this always confuses me, but maybe it doesn't confuse people from down south. But CIF, I always think of the state meet, but in the southern section, they say CIF, SS.
CIF Southern Section, yeah.
Right.
Hey, well, I grew up there, and when I coached there too, after they had the state meet, we would just say, "Hey, did you win CIF?" And we always knew that meant your section.
And CIF is the,
It's everything, yes, everywhere. It's
the
CIF LA
organization,
Section, yeah.
right? And so, like, we say CCS or NCS
Now,
and
yeah,
San Joaquin
and I'll tell you
section.
something else too. We don't say, I shouldn't say we. I live in Beaverton, but I still have the we in me. We say the 405. The 101. In fact, I live here where we have a 405 and a 5. And people say, Ken, what are you doing? Why do you call it the 405 and the 205? We like to like put things in front of what it really is.
Here in Northern California, no, we just have 280, 101. That's it.
Called CIF Southern Section, correct. Did you win CIF? That doesn't mean the state meet. It means Southern Section.
The whole freeway talk, but we actually had that on Zoom, I think last week. Gretchen Yukaitis of Carondelet, she won. She's been running really well all season. She ran 4:52 in the 1600 during cross country. Alyssa Gutierrez is the St. Francis runner I was going to mention, but she's a freshman. She ran well at Woodbridge. She ran well at Clovis. She's run a lot of races and
Yeah, she's getting some
great
experience.
experience. Harper Diaz of Santana, Esmeralda Lopez of Central East, and then Stella Newman was the section champion in the CCS. She's from Burlingame.
Yeah, lots of different. It could be anybody. It could be Gretchen or Carol or even Carol's teammate.
Right.
Alyssa looks pretty gr I mean, she's a freshman, but she doesn't seem to be fazed by these races. So it
Yeah.
could be anybody. So now we go to our new section, which is D4 boys. And what do you see there?
Right. So this is once again, JCERA and Foothill Technology, they've been battling all year, kind of back and forth. JCERA won, I believe it was 47 to 50.
Close,
So
man.
that is a toss up. And I think that once you add other runners in the mix there, you know, just one runner from either team having an off day or having a spectacular day. And that would make the difference. So, I mean, it is literally a toss up. Even though JCERA won at CIF, they, you know, I mean, they're basically co-favorites. So we'll see. So JCERA won last Saturday. So we'll see this Saturday. St. Mary's was the best team in the North Coast section. They have three really strong runners.
They
They have a
do.
lot of gap, and they had a runner that I don't know if he was injured during the meet on Saturday, so I don't know how much of a factor that is, but I think they're definitely up there. And then Sage Creek won the San Diego section, and their coach actually he used to coach at San Rafael High School, and he won a state championship in 2010. I don't know if they can battle with JCERA or Foothill Technology, but they'll definitely be up there trying to get on the podium. And Harvard Westlake was the third best team in the Southern section.
And then who are some individuals?
So individuals, let's see. Sebastian Taylor from Bishop O'Dowd won. He looked pretty strong and looked like lots of run in him. So this is one thing when you look at all the section meets. Obviously, the Southern section ran a super flat course. If you look at the San Joaquin section, their course is super rugged, and their times are not indicative of what people are doing at the state meet. I think the same thing with the NCS course. It rained a little bit on Thursday. The course doesn't drain well, but it's a lot of grass,
Yeah, I
and
saw that.
it's not. If you look at the times, no boy broke 15 minutes. I think girls' fastest time was 17:18. So it's there will definitely be, you know, people running faster at the state meet than what they did at the section final. So yeah, Sebastian Taylor looked really strong for Bishop O'Dowd. We've mentioned Josiah Bowman of Sage Creek. He's run, I think, 150 in the 800. So I mean, you know, if he's in the mix and it's 800 to go, I think he'd have a pretty good chance there. Jackson Leviser of Christian Brothers, Vin Kruger of Oaks Christian, and Omero Galindo of Strathmore.
Yeah,
So,
I don't think there's a real favorite in this division.
right. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's pretty much wide open. Last year, I think Eli won.
He was kind of the king of that section for the last couple of years.
Sure. So I mean, you know, he was a strong favorite last year, but yeah, I think this year it's wide open.
And then the strong Division Five races are the first of them are at 11 o'clock, the D5 girls. This one is going to be kind of fun. There's some good teams that are really close.
Right. I've mentioned Emmanuel before. They finished second as a team the last couple of
They
years.
have.
So 2 years ago, we ended up in a six-man tiebreaker with them, and we ended up winning. So they got second, and then last year, Branson just, you know, had a really strong team. That they're you know, they've graduated a couple of their seniors, and I believe they set a team time record for Division Five. So Emmanuel, they returned everybody that they've kind of been off all season, but then all of a sudden at their section meet they ran really well, and I think clearly there are the top two teams are going to be Emmanuel and Crystal Springs, and Crystal Springs ran really well at their league final. They ran really well at their section meet, and it's going to come down to, you know, once again the state meet. Emmanuel, very familiar with that course. They ran their league final at Woodward Park. They ran their section meet at Woodward Park. I mean, they're going to be on that course three times, And so, you know, that's definitely an advantage. And Crystal Springs, you know, I think one of those teams is going to win the state championship. The next best team is probably San Francisco University. They ended up with a tiebreaker
Yeah.
with like Wilmerding at their section meet, but they were missing one of their runners who she's going to be running at the state meet. So she's either been their number one or number two runner this
Okay.
year. So that's obviously so I think those are the top three teams. Branson, they have three really strong runners up front. Lick Wilmerding, you know, they have once again three strong runners up front, and they gave University a pretty good run. And then Sonoma Academy was the third best team in the North Coast section, and you know, North Coast section has done really well at the state meet.
And then on the girls' side, lots of stars that have been up there in the past.
Right. So the defending champion, Sarkeesian, I can't remember her first name, but she's not.
Brentwood.
Yeah. So she won last year. She was supposed to be back, but I don't know if she was injured. So she will not be defending her title. Ella Moganum of Lick Wilmerding, I believe she's finished second the last 2 years. She's been running really well. She had a very spirited race on Saturday against Farrah Allen of Branson. So those two are definitely going to be up there. Clara Riddle is from Emmanuel. She's their lead runner. Anna Salter of Crystal Springs, she's had a really good season. She ran 10:22 earlier in a 3200 race, and she'll definitely be in the top 10. Let's see, what is it? Eliana Patterson of Christian, she won. She was way ahead of everybody in the San Diego section.
Can I make a plug for her? I saw her at
Yeah.
Mount SAC and she was way in front of everybody at Mount SAC. She
Right.
could be the person to watch. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
know. I mean, she hasn't run against the Northern California powerful Division Five teams, but she wins by a lot. And Mount
Right.
SAC's fairly competitive and she won by a lot there too.
Yeah. And then let's see. And Sophia Joe of Campbell Hall, and then Vacaville Christian, Josie Krulik, she was their section champion.
And then you go to the big boys, Division One boys. These are maybe some individuals, and maybe even maybe a third place team. If that Compolindo and Jesuit have a normal day, they might get a wild card or at large bid for NXN. So Division One boys could be interesting. Lots of it's a Southern section feel, and they keep shuffling back and forth. It could be
Right.
anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you know, I mentioned this earlier, but if you looked at the results, I mean, it just depends on who runs best at the state meet. It's very hard to run really well at the section meet and then come back, especially for the teams that raced this past weekend, for them to run really well 1 week and then come back a week later
Yeah.
and run really well again. And you need all five runners to be running really well. And if one of your five runners didn't have a good day, you know, you need to be deep enough where a sixth or seventh runner comes into play. So the defending champion is Beckman. They won last year. They also won the Southern Section meet. So I think, you know, if like, okay, who's a favorite, then they're probably the favorite. And then San Clemente was second. They finished like really close to them. So and they do a really good job of closing. MiraCosta was fourth. Redondo Union was fifth, and Redondo Union was third last year at the state meet.
Yeah.
Crescenta Valley is another team, and then I think the Bellarmine and Menlo Atherton. So at the CCS meet. Menlo Atherton defeated Bellarmine by 4 points. It was like 51-55. Bellarmine last year, they lost Mountain View at the CCS meet and then came back and got second at state.
He did got the
And
podium.
right. So, you know, very experienced coach, Patrick McChrystal, you know, it must be a Jesuit thing. You know, his coach has been a Jesuit for almost 60 years. Patrick's been at Bellarmine since 1989. And he definitely has a really good front runner. They always have a really good pack. I mean, there have been some years where they've had over 200 boys on their team. So super
Wow.
team. And MA, they've had a great season. And and I think the other team that might be is Clovis North.
Yeah.
So they've been in the top 10, I think, at some point. We'll talk about Connor Lott in a second. But I think those are all the teams in play. And literally, you could have a team that could potentially win or potentially get seventh, depending
Right.
on how their kids run.
Yes, it's going to be very close. I've seen AmeriCosta and Redondo Union are in the same league. I've seen them many times at Woodbridge, at Portland,
Yeah.
Mount SAC, Clovis. They keep toggling back and forth. So that's pretty fun, at least for me, for watching. Individually, I think there's three boys in this race that could make NXN.
Yeah. So we've already talked about Maximo Zavaleta of MLK. He had the fastest time of the day at the Southern Section meet. And he ran 13:59, and I believe he got second at Clovis behind Jackson Spencer of Harriman. Connor Lott is the defending champion. He won last year. He at Clovis he ran, I believe he ran 14:55.
Yep.
He's also a state champ in 1600, so super experienced guy. Steven Zebert of Bellarmine has been running really well. He ran 15 flat at Clovis. He actually beat Connor Lott at the 2 mile at the Clovis North. I believe it's called like the Twilight Meet.
Yeah.
So he's definitely a factor. Elias Tronson, he's a sophomore from Davis. I think he's the best sophomore in the state.
Yes.
And then you have Dean Odom of San Marcos and Daniel Santiapia Palai of Dublin was the section champ from Norco section.
Yeah, that top 10, I don't know. Could they all break 15? That's how good they are. We're talking about San Clemente's number one boy, Beckman's number one boy. MiraCosta has two really solid number one and two. So does Redondo Union. I mean, it's like,
Yeah.
that's going to be awesome. It's going to be a very exciting race at 11:30.
Right. And I think I was talking to somebody about this. The races are going to be dependent on the front of the group. So if it turns out into a tactical race, nobody wants to lead. I think this is more of a factor. I think in the boys' races, I think the girls' races separate a little earlier than the boys' races. But if races become tactical, then that might affect NXN spots because then the times
Yes.
are not as fast, and then in a merge you're not going to be up as high as you thought you were. But if you got somebody taking the race out,
Yeah.
and everybody's following, so that there are lots of factors that go into play, just like you mentioned, with three or four different races that could be potentially in play for NXN.
I would agree. There are definitely on a team race. They might be just watching each other and seeing who's going to do the, that's what happened when I was watching the NCAA Division One men's race. They were just
Yeah.
hanging out for the longest time, waiting for something to happen. I'm like, oh, wow. So my guess is that Max Zavaleta, who's MLK team, maybe not have a chance to really podium. He needs to go to NXN. Maybe he
Sure.
takes it out.
Right.
Whereas Connor might be thinking, hey, my team might get a, well, maybe he'll go too. Maybe those are the, and the other kids are kind of not really all that sure they want to do it. They want to win the team race. So,
Right. And there's also the golden tickets for the Brooks meet. I believe, I don't know if there's two or three.
Connor got it.
So Connor got one for the Brooks meet. Kiara Daly got one also. I don't know if there was anybody else from California.
Can't think of anybody. Oh, who's. No, not yet. That's it. I mean, maybe they're giving them all out, but those are the two California kids.
Yeah, I tried to look it up, but there's I you would figure there would be a spot that says, okay, here's the 10
Yeah.
girls got a golden ticket, here's the 10 boys,
I think
but
those are the two California kids. Okay, coach, and now we head to the noon hour, D4 girls. I don't know. They're, usually we talk about Jay Sarah, but there might be a second team that might be could be a challenger, do you think?
So Jay, Sarah, they've been pretty dominant. I think if you look at both cross country and track, their girls have been super impressive. They're really deep. I think you made a note that one of their runners hasn't raced since Clovis, but they're so deep. I mean, they're sixth, seventh, and I'm sure they have JV runners who I think any other team in the state would love to have them be part of their top five. So they're the clear favorite. Archie Williams has been running really well. One of their at some point she was their number one runner, but she's their number two runner, and she had to take some time off from racing, and but she's back, and she's their number two runner, and they ran the fastest team time at the Norco section meet. They're really strong, and they're definitely going to be they're definitely going to be a podium team. I don't know how close they're going to get to Jay Sarah, but they're definitely a factor. And then another team is Sage Creek. So we already talked about their boys. Their girls are also really good. They won both team section titles at the San Diego section. Placer won the San Joaquin section, and they finished third last year in the state meet. And Laguna Beach was fifth in the Southern section meet. And I think those are some of the teams that are going to be factors. Obviously one's an NXN contender, and there's definitely a couple of podium contenders in there as well.
Now here's the, I always find this a dilemma for Jay Sarah, and they never seem to have a problem. It's only something I worry about. But we're not dissing D4, but it's just not as deep as D1 and D2. We're talking like if you're the third runner, who are you running with? And Jay Sarah tends not to have anybody near them when they're third runner. So they were fourth in the merge last Saturday at CIF Southern Section, which does not bode well for NXN, but they don't seem they under, they seem to understand that, and they seem to take care of business regardless of, they just run their race and they make it. So that's kind of an interesting tidbit that they finished fourth in the merge, and they have to run really fast.
And I think they know what's a play at the state meet as opposed to the Southern Section meet. The Southern Section meet, you're trying to win your division. I mean, I think there are some coaches and kids that might get into like, oh, we're the fastest team, we're the first in the merge and all that. But I think that's not a factor all. And I think this weekend they know like, hey, we have to run fast if we're gonna want to make NXN.
And one of the things too about eyeballing it, watching it on my computer, it seemed like everybody was giving a 100% effort. It wasn't like they're looking around and doing a tempo run, which Jay Sarah could have easily done because they're going to be in the top seven in the Southern section. They were trying, looked like they were trying to break the team score record for Division Four, which was held by Corona Del Mar, and I think they may have done it or they tied it or something like that. So they were giving a pretty good effort. You could they had all their top five in the top seven, maybe they were really competitive. So, but they've done it. They've gone to NXN ever since the pandemic every year, and so they'll be a team that's going to be flying on the course. And if Archie Williams can help, that'll help them too. Another under.
And I think having Kiara Daly in the race as well, that
Yes, we're
she's
going to go to the
gonna,
individuals. There's some really good individuals that'll make it really fun.
And I mean individuals, Brooke Lee, so Archie Williams, she's been their number one runner. She's been running really well. Let's see.
Do you
And
think
then
their number two runner who's been out, she might be getting
Annie
back into
Stig.
fitness?
She's definitely getting up there, and she's finished in the top 10 before at state. And I think she's either going to be into the top 10 or just outside the top 10. So, I mean, that's going to give Archie Williams, two runners potentially in the top 10, which, could obviously, depending how their other runners run, make them really competitive. And then we've already mentioned Kiara Daly. So she is, I believe there are two California runners. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but
I think
she
this
got
is
a
true.
golden ticket. She's been to I guess it's been different names, but she's been to the San Diego meet the last 3 years, and I believe she's the two-time defending champion in this division. So she's going for three in a row here, and if we have to pick a favorite, she's a favorite. Giselle Fernandez of Riverbank is up there. Hannah Shehorn of Scotts Valley, she was super impressive at the CCS meet, and then Montserrat Santillan Silva of Century, she was a Southern Section champion, and I believe I was reading that she got 43rd last year in the same race, so
Yes.
improved a lot
And
in
she
the
won
last.
by a lot too. And those are the J. Sarah girls in her race. So that was very
Right.
impressive.
Yeah. So, you know, I think those are the favorites, but Kiara Daly has to be the favorite, being the two-time defending champion
Yes.
and, you know, one of the top runners in the nation. And I believe she got second at Woodbridge, you
She
know.
did. She almost won it. She came very close to winning it. You know, so you're talking about like, hey, Division One boys, what if they just kind of run a tactical race? This guarantees that this will not be a tactical race because she's going to
Which
take it
will help
out
save Sarah.
and that'll help Jay Sarah. They're going to go with as much as they can. It'll make them faster. I think, you know, Archie Williams went 1, 2, 3 in their section race. They're pretty deep. It'll be a fun race, and it'll be intriguing to see how that impacts Jay Sarah and NXN. Last year, the D5 boys race was an incredible race. They return at 12:30. Who are some teams in? It looks like there's again a number of teams from different sections.
So I think the top three teams are going to be and well, maybe in order, maybe not, but University, Viewpoint, and Menlo. So University last year they got fourth. They were just off the podium, but I think they've been the most consistent team this year, and they've been pretty healthy. They've had everybody, and so I think they're the favorite. Viewpoint got second last year in the Division 5 race, but unfortunately, they're second and third runners. They haven't raced. I believe one of them raced one time, and that's been it. And then another one of their runners raced at the prelims, but didn't race in the final. And I checked the entries for state, and he's not racing.
Oh,
So
wow. Okay.
they're they had a runner who's improved a lot this year, but. They're not quite the same team they were last year, and then Menlo, obviously they graduated. I believe three runners from last year's NXN qualifying team. They're really good. They have a really good front runner, but I think it's going to be something in that order. I think University is the favorite, and then Viewpoint Menlo, you know, second or third behind them. And then you have Ontario Christian. They were the second Southern Section team, and then St. Margaret's was fourth. And I think those are like the contending teams for the podium. Individually,
Individually, I like to say that last year we had some fast kids that made it to NXN, one with a team, but if the team hadn't made it, Petrie would have made it, you know, and they had the Woodcrest Christian boy make it. There are like three boys, I think, maybe there's more, that maybe have NXN potential. They're very fast.
So I think Ollie O'Connor is the favorite. He was in the top five last year. He was either top five or he was six, but he's been the best runner in Division 5 this year. Super experienced, out of Viewpoint. Ryan Fitzpatrick of Nueva. I think he's maybe been a little bit under the radar, but he's been super impressive. He's won several invitationals. Ran at Woodbridge, ran at Clovis, and he won CCS. The other one is Blake Bay of Fresno Christian. I think he broke 15 at Clovis. I think he's only a junior. So those three guys. Henry Hauser of Menlo. A couple of weeks ago, I believe he had pneumonia,
Oh,
and so
gosh.
he just kind of cruised at CCS, and he's had 2 weeks, you know, to further recover. So he's definitely super talented, and
Yes, he
he'll
is.
be in play there. And then Jackson Poborko of Trinity from the Northern Section. Ben Friedland looked great on Saturday for University. So University, they have a really strong pack, but they also have a really strong runner up front. So he's definitely a big factor. And David Avila of Millennium and Kai Rotler of High Tech of Mesa. So
Do
I
you
think
think at that point, this is the last boys race, do they know, like coaches know what the other guys ran at the 1 mile split and the 2 mile split? Or is that, or is it just more organic? You're just going to run fast.
I think, if there are individuals that are in contention for NXN as individuals, I think, like, hey, these are the five fastest times right now. But I think you have to run your race, what you've done all season. You can't all of a sudden go like, oh, I need to run 14:40, so I got to go out at this time. I think you just hope that your fitness and you got the state meet and you're gonna run faster just because it's the state meet and it's a great course and lots of fans. But yeah, I think when you go later in the day like that, you kind of know what times are out there. Last year, Ian Turk and Landon, they ended up running the two fastest time of the day. And I'm sure going in, I'm sure they knew who, who'd run what so far, just looking at the results.
And then we get to the 1 o'clock race, the D1 girls. I keep talking about NXN. I live in Portland, so I'm really excited about that. And this could be the heartbreak race for the girls that ran the other divisional races and have fast times, because there are some fast individuals in this race who could dislodge people for NXN. But we also have, I think we might have a more intriguing race than we have in the past for D1.
I think last year we had a great battle. I believe it was Trabuco Hills and Buchanan, and they both ran really fast. And it was, two teams that scored really low. And when you look at the state championship, usually the winning teams have over 100 points. And last year, you had two teams that scored way less than that. Buchanan will be favored again. It's their home course. I mean, I'm pretty sure they do workouts there, and they know like every like nook and cranny and every tangent. And so I think they're the favorites. Let's see, MiraCosta, they ran really well at the Southern Section meet. They were first in the merge by a lot, and Santiago Corona has also been one of the top teams in the state. Trabuco Hills won last year, and then another team that's going to be a factor is Davis. So the Davis girls, Bill Gregg has been coaching there for a long time, and he definitely knows how to get kids ready for this meet. And they had the fastest team time at the San Joaquin section, which is pretty impressive considering, like Whitney is in there, and Whitney beat them at their league meet. So Davis is really coming on. And yeah, I think those are some of the teams that are going to be in play there.
Now, I don't know how much to read into the MiraCosta. They won by a lot. Could that just be a 1 week, just great day, or are they really much better than all the other teams, and they're the second best team, and maybe close to being with Buchanan and maybe being an at-large team? But we'll find out, I guess. They've been running really well at the end of the year. So individually, we've got some stars in here that are huge factors.
Braylon Combe of San Diego Corona, she's the defending champion in 1600. And I think I saw one of her interviews after one of the races, and she's like, I want to show people that I'm not just a track runner. I'm also a pretty good cross-country runner. So I'm sure she'll be out there trying to win. Avery Woke of Davis, she also ran really well at her section meet. She was the section champion. Daniela Quadros of Carlmont was the CCS champion. We've talked about Jalen Williams before. I believe she was the 2023 state champ in the 3200, and she's been running really well this year. She ran really well at Woodbridge, and she's definitely going to be a factor, and she's fearless. She will not be waiting and sitting, and she might be the one pressing the pace.
Yeah, she
And
won the 3200 in 2024, and she won the San Diego section. She was much faster than Kiara Daly. They ran probably separate races. I don't think they combined the races there in San Diego, but she ran like in the 1640s. She looks pretty fit.
yeah. So yeah, and she's had a great season. So she's definitely going to be a factor. Emily Bellinger won the NCS meet, and then Isabella Ramirez of Bullard was, I believe, the section champion in the central section.
Which is no small feat if you consider all the fast Buchanan girls that she's running against. You
Sure.
know, Buchanan girls, so that's pretty
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Wow, it's gonna be fun. Every race is gonna have something that worth watching.
Yeah. So, one other thing is that's going to be interesting is the at-large bids
Yeah.
for NXN. So there are four boys and four girls. I believe two of those bids, and this might be for both boys and girls, are going to come out of the Southwest. Coronado and American Fork for the boys, they were like 2 points apart, and both those teams might make at-large bids. Baylen Jesuit, because they had to run in the Florida meet, they might be the third. So California usually gets an at-large bid.
Yeah.
So I don't know who, but I mean, look at all the teams we've mentioned. I
Yeah.
have no idea who's going to be the last year. Glendora
Right.
was the third team that got the at-large team from California, and I don't know how many people before the statement would have said, "Oh, Glendora."
Right.
So, and same thing for the girls,
You
like
know, can I say something about Beckman? They were one of the teams
sure.
that I thought they were going to be one of the teams, and I saw them. They
Right.
ran, my memory doesn't work for that great, but I thought their D1 ran early because it was right the early part of the meet,
Yeah.
and they were so excited because they're the state champions.
Sure.
And over time, they and one of their runners, their number one runner, didn't have a great day, but they still were state champions.
Right.
And when you're talking about the merge, that one kid has not such a great day, but you still win the state championship, which is awesome.
Yeah.
When it comes to the NXN merge, that's makes it tough, and they missed out by just a little
Right.
bit. So.
Yeah, and the at large bids that I believe they're announced Saturday evening,
Yeah, usually the coach gets a phone call when they're going up the grapevine or going
Yeah.
through Casa de Fruta, the pass.
Right.
Pacheco
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah, so I don't know who part of it is based on how you've done during the season.
Yeah.
So, if there's somebody that all of a sudden has a huge breakthrough at the state meet, how much is that going to be a factor? What about other teams that have been consistently good all season? So it's going to be super interesting. Maybe it might turn out to be like, hey, there's three teams like way ahead of everybody,
Yes, the gap.
and
There's going to be a gap,
yeah,
right?
and it's pretty clear, or there's definitely going to be a discussion, and how many other teams from other states are going to be in play. So
Yeah, like in the boys race, boys merge, you've got Jesuit ranked 2 and Campolino ranked 11th. If there's a gap, that's actually understandable if you're the 22nd best team in the
sure.
country.
Yeah.
But if you're close to those two teams, and I think you're looking pretty good,
Right.
So.
Yeah, and the other factor which you mentioned earlier, it's there's a lot of sickness. There's teams that there might be somebody that wakes up on Thursday or Friday and like, hey, I'm not feeling too
Right.
well, and you need everybody to be at 100% or close to it, and all of a sudden one of your runners isn't at 100%. So
Yeah.
we're recording this on Tuesday. There's
Yeah.
still Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I always joke with other coaches how, as coaches, we have 2 hours to build our kids up, and then they have 22 hours to mess that up
Yeah.
somehow.
Anything can happen. I don't know. It's rained quite a bit in California. How does that Woodward Park, does it hold very well? What I'm asking is, if you run at 8:30, will the course be in good shape at 1? A lot of courses do not have that luxury.
Right.
This course, I've been there. It seems like it holds great. Do you think it'll hold okay?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the weather report. I don't think it's going to rain. I can't remember the last time. I mean, I've definitely been to state meets where it rained. It's definitely a huge factor. And this is why one thing I don't understand about some of these NXR and regional qualifiers, how they have their races after all the other races.
Do at the end. It's kind of like the showcase event, but it's so dangerous with the course.
Yeah, but why would you? It
Yeah.
doesn't make sense. It's like you would figure, like, hey, when we had, we used to have the Stanford Invitational, and they ran high school races, and they ran the college races, and they ran more high school races, and they always had the college races like early on, you
Yeah.
know, like you would figure, like, hey, these are our two premier races, let's have them run, you know. I somebody mentioned that, oh, they don't want other runners to interfere with the races, you know, since it would be early on. But yeah, I mean, weather is definitely a factor. I mean, you see why, you know, some other states had their state meet like a month ago, because, you know, if they try to hold their state meets now, it would be
Right.
in snow.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's a pretty good course. It holds really well. I know that last year I was on the course. It wasn't great for photography because it was slippery getting from one part to the other, but it wasn't part of the course. So I was
Yeah.
off the course, and it had rained the week earlier, and it was pretty muddy, but not where the kids were running. That's the key. I think
Right.
it does a good job of that course does a really good job of absorbing the rain. So
Yeah, and you know, I think this is the same goes for the Crystal Springs course. It's great that this course has remained the same. I'm sure there's been like little, very subtle changes that have happened, and you know, if Ken Reeves, I know he measures the course every year and all this stuff, and I'm sure there might be like slight little changes, but for the most part, the course has remained the same, and it's a great course. It's very fair.
yeah.
There's many places you can pass people, so it's not like, oh, we got to get out fast because if we get caught behind, there's no way we can
Right.
catch up. So
Yeah,
it's a
doesn't really make it. The big turn is not for a long time. That's one of the big concerns,
Yeah,
of course. So.
right. And yeah, there was we used to run a Toro Park in the CCS, and like you ran for about, I don't know, maybe like 200 meters, and then there's like a sharp right
Yeah,
turn,
that's not good.
and yeah, and if you don't get out, you know, if you really want to get out there, it definitely was a factor.
Yeah, you can either get trapped, you're not moving, or you fall,
Right.
which are not
Right.
both aren't good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. I'll be out there taking some pics, looking forward to it. And now that I've talked to you, I know who to look for in my camera because you've given us a good rundown of all the teams and the athletes. Coach, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
All right, thank you. And
And
you
we
too.
will see you again in the future. Thanks,
All right.
Coach.
All right, thanks a lot.
I want to thank Todd and Coach Albert for coming on and really talking about the California Stadium. I think we covered every angle that's coming up on Saturday. I'll be writing a preview that I'll publish on Friday. You can look for that also later on this week. And then Todd and I are going to be on the course on Friday afternoon, just taking pictures of athletes on their run, and maybe we'll head up to the finish line area and take pictures of teams hanging out by the finish area. There's always a line of kids trying to take pictures of the finish area, and we'll be in that place too, and take pictures on Friday. And of course, Todd and I will be there on Saturday taking pictures. You can find our photos at westcoastxc.com, and Todd has his photos on his website, and you can find that on his bio and on Instagram. And you can see his Instagram link below my chin, and you can click on that. You can click on it right now. You can check out the NCS CIF NCS finals and other races he's gone to in the fall, and he works really hard and goes to a bunch of races, whether it's college or high school, and check out his photos. So, looking forward to the California State Meet. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And if you are going to be at the meet, we'll hope to see you there. We've got stickers, and And if not, look for our photos and our coverage afterwards. And remember that the West Coast is the best coast. We'll see you next time.